Hey y'all, I'm Kim, host of Book Marketing Mania, and I'm so thrilled you're tuning in today as my sweet friend Angie Bauman is my guest. Angie hosts the Study On podcast. She's authored several Bible studies and is a contributing author to Life-Changing Stories, a devotional compiled by Mary Rudy Armand of Butterfly Living. Angie actually pitched me this incredible idea of today's episode, and I couldn't wait to dive into how a private podcast works and how it can be a wonderful resource to market your book, especially as a contributor devotional like Angie is part of. Get ready to take lots of notes, y'all, as Angie shares how she came up with the idea and managed the process of hosting an evergreen private podcast. How the project became a great way for her to collaborate with 25 other writers she didn't already know, and what's come out of those collaborations. How a private podcast helps you grow your email list, and tips for you if you are thinking of hosting your own private podcast. You're in for a treat today with Angie, so let's get to it. Hey, Angie, welcome to Book Marketing Mania. I'm so thrilled you're here to serve my listeners today.
I'm so excited to have this conversation. This is going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, so as a fellow podcast host, and you've been at it way longer than me, Angie, I know we both love podcasts, whether we're hosting or guesting on them. And something really cool you created recently was a private podcast to help market a devotional that you're a part of. So tell us a little bit about your devotional for sure, and just how the idea came to you for creating a private podcast.
Yeah. So my hat is off to my dear ministry friend, Mary Rooney Armand. She leads a ministry called Butterfly Living, and it's her devotional. It's Butterfly Living's devotional. She and I were just chatting as God was inviting her to put some authors together. She asked me initially if I would be an author in the book. And I said, yes, of course, I'd love to sign up for that. And then as we continued chatting, I don't remember if it was our first conversation or a little bit down the road, I said, you know, have you ever thought about doing a podcast with the book? I said, we have all these authors that are coming on, and it might be cool to just do short snippets, a kind of a behind the scenes or a little extra more, so that the readers can also listen and hear their heart through their voice. And Mary's not a podcaster, but she said, I think that's a phenomenal idea. And so it was born.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. I think these are the coolest things ever. I mean, anything to do with podcasting to serve our readers, I think is so cool. So I'm all over this for sure. So tell us, Angie, first off, let's just back up a little bit. How many episodes did you do, or is it ongoing?
It's closed. It's all done. It was interesting because I kind of told Mary at first, I thought maybe we could use it as like a pre-order bonus or something like that. Get 5 or 6 of the authors and just do little snippets kind of as a teaser is what I thought at first. And then she said, that's great. I'll just throw the invitation out there and see who wants to do it. Well, we ended up with 34 authors in the book, and to my surprise, 25 of us signed on to do the interview. So it turned out to be a bigger project than I thought, but it was wonderful. And so, yeah, so I did about 12 to 15 minutes with 25 of the 34 authors, and it was all done and released at the same time the book was done.
Okay. Oh gosh. I love that so much. Yeah. And just to get to hear, I mean, I love listening to authors on podcasts. And so, you know, especially for like a compilation devotional where you're going to be introduced to new names you don't know, I think that's so fun to get to hear their voices. So tell us a little bit about how you're using it to promote the book.
Yeah. I'm an audio consumer. Most of the time when I say read, I listen. And so I'm not as quick to sign up for like summits that are video or even books that you have to like read. But I am, if you say you can listen to it, I'm all about that. And so we're promoting it as an also included, but we're also promoting it as a standalone. So we have graphics and copy that are for both. So as the authors are promoting it, and some are more readers than listeners, and some are more listeners than readers, the authors themselves. And so some of us are promoting more the you know, it just kind of depends on our personalities and what we want. But we have a QR code that is on a lot of the graphics, like as we put things on social media. And so we are advertising it together and separately.
Okay. Okay. So they could get it two different ways, right? So it's not just if you buy the book, you get the podcast. You could actually get the podcast first and then learn about the book that way.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one of the things we just said. So there's a QR code like in the book. Uh-huh. So people who are reading the devotionals can, you know, listen to the authors, you know, on this podcast and they can scan the QR code and have access to it. Or if they just wanted it, like I've put it in my newsletter a couple of uh-huh. times. I don't know what all the authors are doing, but, you know, especially people like in my community that are used to me podcasting, mm-hmm. I thought it would be a great way to introduce them to the book. And so it's being done both ways.
Yeah. And it's evergreen, never goes out of style, just like your mm-hmm. devotional. I love that. Oh gosh. I wish more people, I think I mentioned this to Angie, but I mean, I wish more people would take advantage of things like this. Like it's just, I know it's a lot of work, you know, you could do less, like you might not have 25 interviews, but it's just such a great way. Like I'm like you too. I'd much rather listen to anything. Like there's some things I'll watch, you know, of interest, but if I need to see something, but most of the time it's like, no, I just need to be able to pop my earbuds in or listen in the car and just anytime I'm doing something where I can multitask, just being able to listen and be encouraged. So I love it much. Go ahead.
For this, through this particular book, the profits are going to Compassion International. Mary's she's very involved in Compassion International. And so one of the things, like for someone like me, if I saw that there were podcasts and then I began to listen to the authors and thought, you know what, I do want to support this and mm-hmm. I want more of what these authors are sharing, then it can be a way for some of us, I think, to also pick up the book and support the larger project as well. So,
Oh, I love that. Yeah. When authors, you know, give some of their proceeds to something, especially as important as Compassion International and that alone in itself is a marketing tactic, right? I mean, not that that was your intent, but
no, but yes,
but just to be able to, become alongside you and be a part of that mm-hmm. donation is amazing. So tell us a little bit about the technical aspect of these kinds of things can be really scary and overwhelming. And, you know, you're like, oh gosh, if I don't have money to outsource it, I can't do it. So I'd love to hear just how are you approaching the technology side of it?
I did all the conversations through Zoom. That's a mm-hmm. platform that I already have. We didn't do video. We just did audio. So I pulled the audio. Mary and I picked some music that was for, you know, this project in particular. So I added a little bit of music at the front and the back of the episodes. And then we uploaded them to Hello Audio. That's the platform that we're using to host.
Okay. And then for listeners that might not be familiar, just confirm with me this, Angie, how it works is I'm going to sign up. There's a form somewhere. Either their QR code leads me to the form in the book, right? Or I might see you promote it or one of the authors promote it. And I go to a landing page that has a form and I'm going to give you my email address. And then you're going to send me a link, right? To access the podcast. Is that how it works?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And you can subscribe through Hello Audio. I love Hello Audio. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Hello Audio. And Hello Audio is just a platform that hosts private podcasts. Uh-huh. And so, so you get this QR code and it takes you to the landing page and then you can put it in your podcast player.
Okay.
So I'm an Apple podcast. A lot of people are Apple podcasts, mm-hmm. but that's not the only place that you can listen to it. So then it shows up in your phone. Like if you're a podcast listener and you have a library of podcasts that you mm-hmm. subscribe to, you just sign up that way. And then the Life Changing Stories podcast, all the episodes are going to show up in your library, just like any other podcast would.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Do you get access to, like you were saying, you'd like to listen to podcasts on Hello Audio? Do they have their own app? Are you able to access other podcasts on Hello Audio that way? I guess you'd still have to be subscribed.
Only if you sign up one at a time, I believe. Like I have several podcasts from uh-huh. Hello Audio that I signed up that way, you know, through things. But they just show up as their own independent podcast. They really don't. They don't look any different in your podcast.
That's what I was
player.
Thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love. Yeah. That's definitely something I like and about that. Because when you're scrolling through, you're just like, it's just another podcast.
You're just creating a podcast that isn't ongoing. At least that's what I'm doing. I'm creating a podcast that isn't ongoing. So all the episodes are just right there. Now you can in Hello Audio, which this is really cool. I think some of us that are marketing books might love this because you can in Hello Audio release them if you want to. So you can schedule them. So if you have mm-hmm. someone, like if you're doing something in a certain time period, mm-hmm. let's just say you wanted to do a 6-week, hey, before I release my book, I'm just mm-hmm. popping in my mind right now. So correct me if you think that. Yes. I'm just like, so if I want to do like a 6-week gear up or a tease, uh-huh. you know, for my book or something. And so I'm going to release 6 episodes, one with each chapter or something like that, that kind of helps the reader get excited about what I'm about to release. You could actually schedule them for like every Sunday or every Monday or something like that for a 6-week period of time and try to do something where people are listening together uh-huh. rather than this project that I've done, which is evergreen and people can download them anytime they happen to run across the book or a promotion for the podcast.
Yeah, I love that it's flexible. You can do it however you want it. You know, like you just said, it could be a lot of episodes, a few episodes ongoing, just a little short time. I know, because like this past summer, I've recommended to an author that was launching a book and they were looking for, you know, pre-order ideas. And I was like, how about like, I mean, it's a book for moms. Right? Moms are busy. And it was really targeting younger moms. You know, like how about just a short, which 5 minutes seems to be long nowadays. You know, it's so funny, like in long form content and short form content.
I can't do that short of form content. I just don't know how.
I know it's short. But you know, when you listen to something, you're like, wow, yeah, that was only 5 minutes. But I was like, wow, what if you did a private podcast, 5 minute episodes? Like think of mom sitting by the pool together, yeah, you know, or sitting at the playground or
in
whatever. They only have a few minutes.
Line, yeah, the pickup line.
Mm-hmm. And do something like that. And they could be so encouraged. And, you know, just like what you're doing, they might get the podcast first and then want to get the book or vice versa. And they weren't real happy with that idea. So they didn't implement it. But I'm like, oh, well, I thought so. Anybody like out there writing a mom book, I thought it was a really great idea. And I would listen to it.
Podcasting is intimidating to some yeah, people. And yeah, I just, you know, if anybody is like, oh, I think I like that idea, but I don't know. You have what you need, really. Most of us have what we need in order to be able to do a basic podcast, and you'll learn. Mm-hmm. You'll learn. It doesn't have to be perfect but to make it good and a good addition to your project.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And just, you know, just so genuine and authentic and not that big production of things. Like we're not doing that with our everyday podcast. So we certainly would want to do it with something like this. And just a great way for the listeners and readers to get to know you. So tell us about your experience, Angie, just hosting it, you know, you getting to know, I mean, did you know these other 25 authors that were part of this devotional before you did it?
I knew a few of them, but mm-hmm, I didn't know very many of them. And I put this little list together, if you don't mind. I put this little list together, and these are all people that I met for the first time. Some things that have come from it because I met them. Because I don't know about some of your listeners. Yes. Yeah, can I just rattle down?
Absolutely.
Because here's the thing that happens. Like, I would have been honored to be in this book and link arms with these ladies, no matter what. But with 25 of them, I sat for several minutes and had this interaction with them, and we built this relationship. So now people who I would have been a list with their name with mine. Does that make sense? Right? Like now I'm like, oh, these are ministry acquaintances now. And all these ladies have really wonderful ministries too. And several of them have invited me to be in on things that they're doing. And I thought I'll just share because this is another part of marketing. Is it not like building relationships?
Yeah, those collaborations. Relationships for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, and all of them are leading to good things. I think I love collaboration. It makes me so excited to talk about it.
Yeah. But
one of the authors is doing a giveaway promotion that she invited me to put my books in with her. Uh-huh. So there's one place. Yeah. One invited me to guest blog for them. One invited me to join her on an Instagram live. We share a Bible teaching lane. That's what our ministry focus is. I guested on one of the author's podcasts. I was invited by one of the authors to endorse their book. I was invited to speak at a summit one of the authors put on. And one of the ladies I invited to co-host on my podcast, and now she and I are doing a private podcast project together in 2024. And then this group is doing a multi-author book giveaway in January. And those are all people I had not met before.
Wow. That's so amazing. So, because I know we talk a lot about that just with podcast guesting. Like you just never know where those, you know, people coming onto your podcast or you being a guest on somebody else's podcast, just those relationships are key. I mean, you are there to serve the listeners, obviously, and they'll come away with value, but just, the relationships
but
between the host
ripple
and the
effects.
Guest.
Yes. And also just my friend who might be needing to hear this, there are more of us out there than you think. And sometimes writing, speaking, podcasting, all that kind of stuff can feel kind of lonely and isolating. Mm-hmm. But when you do a collaborative project, you just remember that there are people to cheer you on and there are people who get you. And some of those things that I think are really important to keep staying inspired to do what we're doing.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, Angie. And just to, you know, like you were saying, it doesn't have to be perfect and you do have everything you need to get started. And sometimes we don't realize that until we just ask, you know, just ask around and somebody's going to, you know, take you by the hand and show you. It's a lot easier than it seems. And other people can make it be a lot bigger to do. But that's not where we all start at by any means. And you may never need to get to that point, you know? Yeah. I mean, we just have to really look at who we're serving and the kind of content, you know, they're going to definitely take in. Oh, gosh. So do you have any tips for others that might be thinking, maybe a private podcast is for me?
Well, I have two tips that I think I want. And the first one is, when I did this, I broke one of my own rules. And I would do this differently next time. And that is, I wrongly assumed that since we were all authors, we'd all have podcast guesting experience. And it wasn't true at all. Yeah. A few had a lot of experience. A couple had their own podcasts. But most had none to minimal experience. And I really did the rule I broke is always assume people are nervous and they need you to take good care of them, right? Like that's one thing that no matter who guests on my show, I always kind of approach it as if they need you to help them feel comfortable here, right? And I don't think I did that well enough with this. Well, I know I didn't. I did not take as good a care of them up front as I wished I would have. And the podcast doesn't have as good a sound quality as it would have if I'd have taken better care of them equipment-wise and set up some expectations. But also, like, I know all of them were comfortable with me as we were doing the interview. I'm good at making people feel comfortable as we're interviewing. But several of them were really nervous and apprehensive about the whole process. And looking back, I really could have done more to ease their nerves and set them up for success ahead of time. And I just misassumed. That's probably not a word. I'm making up room. I just assumed because I'm an author and have a lot of podcasting experience that authors have a lot of podcasting experience. And that's not true. So I learned from that and I'll do that better moving forward. So that's tip number one. For those of us who are experienced podcasters, that just remember that even other people who are writing and speaking and doing some of the things we're doing with content creation, podcasting can be intimidating for people. And we just need to, I think, serve them as we're helping them serve our readers, listeners, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great tip for, all of us podcast hosts for sure. Yeah. And just to kind of that reminder that I'm sure as you've seen, ENG is, hosting a podcast and guesting on podcast are two different skills, that we don't all have both. So that's so important. Mm-hmm. Oh, girl, well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. What about your second tip?
So my second tip is you don't have to have a collaborative group to do this. I kind of mentioned this before already, but it's a lot of fun to do different people and do different interviews if you have like a collaborative group like I did. But like I was saying, you can add extra stories, extra teaching, extra thoughts on the chapters of your solo project, especially like if you're not in love with sharing photos and your voice and stuff on social media, like reels and some of those things where people can see and hear and get to know us a little bit. If we're looking for a way for people to get to know us outside of social media and outside of our writing, I think a podcast can be a way that you can still do that and share your heart and yourself. Just sort of how you see the world. You can script it, or you can go off your script. You can just share this if you're not working with a different group of people. So just because that's the particular project I'm talking about here, I just wanted to be like, hey, you don't have to have a group of people in order to do a private podcast.
Yeah. That's such a great tip. And I think it's so true for podcasting and blogging and everything, but especially since we talk about podcasts so much, when you start, if you're thinking about starting a podcast again, ask somebody, to kind of talk to you about the starting stages and how it can be done very simply. It does not have to be very difficult, but some people like solo shows or some people like interview shows and there's no right or wrong. You can do it however you want. You can do seasons, short episodes, long episodes, however you feel called to do it. And I feel the same way about this with private podcasts, because like I said, I really wish more people would do it. And I think there's so many different unique ways you could do it. So I'm so glad you brought that up, that this is a super cool way you've done it, but you're also saying, but hey, you can still take this and do it another way. For sure.
And so, I ask all the people that I interviewed the same three questions.
Okay.
So it doesn't even have to be, all of them, I posed the same three questions, but the interviews were all very different. So I'm thinking about somebody who's put together, maybe you've put together a beta group for your book or something like that.
Yeah.
Ask those members of your beta, would you take one chapter and tell me three things that you learned in that, or one thing, what was your highlight of that chapter? Do short things and just do, real quick interviews or something like that, where they get, people can just have kind of a sneak peek or something, something that goes along with it. Just an idea. It doesn't have to be complicated.
yeah, definitely. And I think we have to all keep reminding ourselves of that for sure. Your three questions, did they have to do with that author's devotion that they had in the book?
Yes. All the devotions were talking about a time when we understood that transformation was needed in our life, like God revealed a place of transformation that was needed. And so I asked them, what was the place of transformation? Tell me just a little bit about your story and how God revealed transformation was needed. And then I asked them, what did you need to let go of in order to receive that transformation? And then I asked them, what is that transformation looking like in your life now? How do you hold on to that transformation? So the questions were the same, but of course, course, the way they answered them and their stories and their experience with God was all quite different. So I had this sort of like skeleton outline that I didn't need to prepare 25 times, right? Like I didn't need to do all the work every time, but the listeners got a unique view each time, even though my questions were, and my follow-up questions, of course, were different based on where the interview went, but the outline was the same for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good too. Because as we prepare for guests, typically it is individual questions for that guest. So again, to think about if you're taking on some project like this, this can simplify it by having the same questions. You're just asking 25 different people or however many people you want to do it. Or like Angie said, you don't have to do it that way. You know, you could do it so many different ways. That's so awesome, Angie. I'm so excited. I need to sign up for it myself and experience it because I love podcasts. So I did want to ask you too, and I'll definitely put a link to the devotional and to the access to get it so that everybody can see how it works, you know, behind the scenes, but also be encouraged and have their heart, you know, inspired by everything in the devotional and maybe check it out. So I'm so glad you shared that. And I want to ask you, so it's kind of switching gears a little bit on you, Angie. I want to ask you about hosting and guesting because we formally connected for this interview, which is so crazy, I think, through Podmatch, which y'all have heard me share about Podmatch. I mean, I've known Angie forever and I've, you know, you've always been on my list. Like I need to have you on the show, but it's so funny how it didn't happen until we connected on Podmatch. So I mean, it's just, you know, one of those things. It's like, it's just so easy that it makes it happen. But I'd love to hear, because I know you have used Podmatch a lot longer than I have. I'd love to hear your experience with it as a host and a guest.
I always tell people who are asking me, especially if they're new about guesting on shows, if they're asking me, how do I get on shows or whatever? I always recommend Podmatch because I really feel like that it has been a great place for me to meet people with similar size shows as me. There are so many podcasts out there that we don't know who they are because I'm going to call them like mid-majors, right? Like solid, good shows, excellent content, really wonderful hosts, but they're not the names that we know of podcasts that are like, really, there's like this top few that kind of people know their names, but then there's all these places that we can get great guest experience, serve their people, sometimes do guest swaps, all of that. So I feel like if you're new, when I was new at guesting, I found a lot of yeses there, which helped me get better at guesting, also better at hosting because I was guesting more, right? Yeah. Like that. So it was just a really great place, but it was these places that I got a lot of practice telling my story. And so I love Podmatch. I'll just say this as a word of encouragement. It took me a hot minute to get my profile set up right so that I was connecting with the right people. So if you're not connecting with the right people initially, go in there and keep making it at first when you set up your profile in Podmatch or anything, I would think we tend to set it up too broad because we want to get the yeses. And really, then you're going to get people. So don't be afraid to narrow yourself down and be like, this is really what I talk about, because then you're going to make connections with like kindred spirits almost who are wanting you to talk about the thing that you're passionate about talking about. So it took me a little while to play with my profile. So I was getting the right recommendations, both for guests and of guest pitches and places to pitch. Is that what I'm saying that right?
Yeah.
But once I got that, then I was like, oh, this is my lane. I'm in my lane.
Yeah. That's so wonderful. Yeah. I find it so easy to use. And I'm glad you said that about, because I do think it comes down to definitely how your profile is set up to where, you know, the opportunities that you get and making sure the keywords are right. And just,
and it takes away some of that angst with like, well, they say it's not cold pitching.
Yeah.
The same way that cold, you know, it doesn't feel like, because we're all there to make connections. So it just feels less intimidating, I think it did to me anyway, than when I was first starting and feeling like I have to cold pitch and figure out how to do that.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you said like there is a huge list of podcasters that people don't even know about. You know, I'm just blown away by every time I learn about a new podcast, I'm like, wow, I thought I knew them all, but obviously I don't. So I think, and I just want to hone in on like what you were talking about, you know, like when you, what you were looking at it as, and you have books to sell, but what you were looking at it as is the relationships, you know, improving your own skills and, you know, just getting that practice. And I think that's so important to remember, because I think often authors, you know, just go into it as, okay, I'm only doing this to promote my book. And if I don't have, if I can't see a book sales coming from this podcast interview on that day it airs, then it's not worth my time, you know, like, and I'm like, oh gosh, there's so much more to it than that. You know, it does take a long time, but also there's just all these other fruitful things that could come out of, again, those relationships between a host and a guest and just finding new people. Cause I think the whole intent is that you're getting in front of people that don't know you, right? You know, so they can learn about you and your book or your message that God's given you. And so what an incredible way to do it. Well, great. I'm so glad you shared that, Angie. Well, this has been so good, as I knew it would be, Angie. So tell everybody where they can connect with you online and learn more about your Devo and the private podcast. And I'll be sure and put links to everything too.
Yes. Awesome. So my website is livesteadyon.com. That's where most of my stuff is. Mary's is Butterfly Living. And I'll give you both of those so that you can connect with the devotional and the private podcast and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, great. Yeah, and I didn't even mention, I'm sure I mentioned it in my introduction that Angie does host an amazing podcast called Steady On. So be sure to check that out too. And I'll make sure that's linked as well. Well, great. Angie, I sure appreciate your time today serving my listeners.
It was such a joy. I love talking to you, Kim. Thanks for inviting me on.
Me too. You bet. Oh, y'all, isn't Angie the best? Be sure to sign up for her private podcast so you can experience how it works behind the scenes and see if it might be something you're interested in. And if you need some help strategizing how a private podcast can help you grow your email list long before you have a book in hand, or perhaps you're looking to generate some more buzz long after your book release, I would love to strategize with you. You can grab a session on my calendar at kimstewartmarketing.com/strategy, and I'll put a link here in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in today. And as always, I'll be there for you to help you build your audience and market your book one podcast at a time. See you then.